It's not like I'm going to dedicate the entire episode to dissecting Ben Heller's 10th inning. Good morning to you. Good Monday morning. I'm Dejan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports. This is Daily Shot of Pirates. It comes your way bright and early every weekday if you're into football and or hockey. I also offer daily shots of Steelers and Penguins in the same place that you found this. Twins 11, Pirates 5 yesterday at PNC Park. I was over there covering it for DK Pittsburgh Sports, and I came away thoroughly unimpressed with Heller. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. In fact, I'm not even going to talk about the fact that Heller was the last available pitcher to Derek Shelton. This is in the 10th inning. On a day when he'd been told by his medical staff that he had four, count them, one, two, three, four pitchers unavailable to him, meaning relief pitchers. He was missing that many guys the day after a bullpen game, and his general manager did squat about this. Didn't call up anybody, didn't add an arm. Just said, here's what you got. You'd better hope Jared Jones goes deep. And you want to know something? In that scenario, there's this twisted part of me that would actually prefer seeing Jones be out of the game after an inning or two, just to see how this management would react when faced with its own ineptitude. Honestly, I can't believe that I saw that unfold the way that it did. And give the rest of the team credit, meaning the people who are on the field, for coming back and making it a 4-4 tie, for even getting it to extras. But for Ben Cherington to sleep through it, to just, whatever, it's not that important. Wouldn't want to have to make a move that touches the 40-man roster because you might gasp lose Ben Heller. But I'll tell you who else should get credit, and that is Jones. Because it sure looked like after the first inning, really, that he might not make it out of there. His pitches were off the mark. They were missing their usual energy and bite. He wasn't commanding. He was getting clubbed to all fields. And instead, he got out of the first with just a couple runs. The Twins were able to tack on another couple. But for the most part, he settled down. He leaned hard on the stuff that he had working, which he acknowledged afterward wasn't much. And he gave the team not just five innings, but, you know, five innings in which they could still come back. And they did. And if there's one thing that jumps out at me from this game overall, it's how Jones again was able to handle adversity. And yes, I know that's now a theme that's three games running, and you'd rather see him go back to being the Jones that was mowing down everybody in New York and leading SportsCenter. But this, as he and I have discussed, is real life. That other stuff is fantasy level. If Jones is going to be a really, really good pitcher in the majors, and I think we would all presume that he will be, this is part of the process. And that's not just a cliche, it's a necessary part of the process. Baseball lifers love to say that you never know what you have in a player until you see them fail and then how they respond to failing. Well, I don't know that I would consider much of anything that Jones has done since his arrival to be failing, not even the game in Detroit. But when you see him have his struggles and you see him out on the mound, you see how he keeps his composure. And listen to him afterward, too. This was just Jones on how things went.
I just don't think I had it very well at all today. Stuff like that happens, and it's just a matter of bearing down and executing pitches late in the game.
Yeah, there's some frustration there. There is. And I could see that also, whenever the interview session was done, the last question seemed to have been asked, and he embraced that opportunity to kind of turn and continue going about his business. Said that he didn't want to stand there all day and answer questions, and I wouldn't either. So yeah, it gets to him. He and I talked a lot about Detroit, not just in Detroit, I was up there, but also afterward. And he had it stick with him, but he had it stick with him in a healthy way. He had it stick with him in a way that he could learn from it, feed off of it. And then comes a game like this that was different. In Detroit, he felt that the Tigers made a collective decision to just go at him on first pitches. He wasn't expecting that, was surprised by it, had to adjust. Did adjust very nicely next time out. This time, just didn't have it. Just didn't have it. I've seen, heard, and read some fans complaining that he should have been left in the game longer. Mostly, I guess, because they never wanted the game to end up in Heller's hand. Because Jones had made it through five at just 84 pitches. But as Derek Shelton explained afterward, and I'm 100% on his side in this one, Jones had nothing left. His four-seamer, his regular fastball, was coming in at 94 miles an hour. Not 100, 94. That's when you go, all done, kid. But to reiterate, his all done was a decent all done. And he and the Pirates are only going to be the stronger for it over time. When we come back, J1Q. This portion of Daily Shot of Pirates is brought to you by our friends at North Shore Tavern. That's directly across Federal Street from PNC Park. It's home of Steak on a Stone, an eating experience, underscoring the word experience. The steak is brought to you partially cooked on an 800 degree stone, and you do the rest. It's a ton of fun, it's a great meal, and it's a baseball atmosphere like no other in Pittsburgh. North Shore Tavern, right across Federal Street from PNC Park.
It's Gun Storage Check Week. Help prevent unwanted access to your firearms. No one wants their unsecured gun to be used in an accident, a suicide, or a crime. Use lockboxes, safes, and locks to secure your firearms. Learn more at gunstoragecheck.org. That's gunstoragecheck.org. Brought to you by NSSF, the Firearm Industry Trade Association.
Today's J1Q comes from Larry, who writes, DK, we need a pinch hitter, so the best we can do is a 169 for a 150? Yeah, Larry, that actually happened. I'm not sure how many people were cognizant of it happening as it did, but I sure was up in the press box. Poor Henry Davis. 1-for-12 since his return with 8 strikeouts, including a really ugly strikeout in what would turn out to be his final at bat, ending the 6th inning. When the 8th came around and the Pirates had a couple guys on base, Derek Shelton did something he doesn't often do, and that is, well, just to be blunt here, play to win. He knew he had no relief pitchers, so he was either going to win that game in the 8th or at the very latest the 9th, or he wasn't going to win it at all. So he made some unusual moves, pinch running for Rowdy Tellez by putting Michael A. Taylor out there. That's not the norm. And yeah, pinch hitting. One catcher for the other. And it was Grandal, and he made an out, and Henry just went right back to the dugout out of the on-deck circle. And Henry's really, really struggling. Looks really no different than before he went down to Indianapolis. In some ways, worse. I'm not going to get into all the technical stuff, but everything about his swing, the uppercut tendency, the excessive pull, it's just all so unattractive, and all of it really seemed to be on display in that one horrendous swing to end the 6th inning, where he almost chopped down at the ball. It's hard to describe unless you saw it, and I don't know what the answers are. I do know that I keep hearing from people with the Pirates that they feel that AAA pitching, not theirs, just in general, is not good and might be as lousy as it's ever been. So when you see hitters go down there, whether it's you know, Henry or Jack Sawinski or Ji-Hwan Bae, and they put up these grand and glorious numbers. And, you know, people like me and probably like you will say, get that guy up here. Look at what he's doing. Or even if it's the 34-year-old first baseman down there. But they're seeing something different. This is what they say. I'm not covering AAA, so I can't attest to it in one direction or the other. So one of the reasons that you see guys staying down there with crazy stats is that they're seeing the caliber of pitching that they're facing or the caliber of pitches that get hit and saying, wow, he's not going to see one of those, not even twice a month in the majors, a pitch that bad. Now, I say this and I can hear you coming back with, okay, so these are all 4A players? That you're saying that the number one overall pick is a 4A player? Well, I mean, I sure hope not. People running the Pirates had damn well better hope not. But I don't see an answer for Henry. For that matter, I don't see an answer for Jack. Jack looked at strike three right down Grant Street. Again, for the zillionth time, turned around and glanced at the ump like the ump had done him wrong. It's a two-strike count, kid. You gotta be ready to hit. You can't be hoping for help. And the next time up, of course, Jack goes ahead and strikes out swinging. I don't know. I don't mean to pound the hitting all the time. There have been some positives in that regard. Rowdy Tellez, who got all kinds of apparently very, very good advice from his dad, decided to basically undo a lot of stuff, according to him, and get back to being what he was. Now, what that says or doesn't say about Andy Haynes, I don't know. I'm really tired of that topic, too. There's obviously Nick Gonzalez doing well, and as Nick described to me, in Detroit, he's done a lot of stuff that basically he worked on over the winter himself in terms of rebuilding his own swing, having his hands higher, keeping the bat through the zone longer. Self-made repair, basically. Good for him, but they need more answers than this. And hey, guys, before I go today, I want to share that I'm going to be on vacation overseas, going to Serbia, as I often do. That's where my extended family is, in Belgrade, in Novi Sad. And I'll be there until next week. So the next shows that I do, meaning all three of the Daily Shots, will come your way next Tuesday, June 18. Again, that's all three of them. Daily Shot of Steelers, Penguins, and Pirates will be back next Tuesday, June 18. If you've been listening to or reading my stuff for a long time, first off, thanks. Second, you'll know that I don't take many vacations. And when I do, it's pretty much at gunpoint. Well, this one's at gunpoint. I've been told, ordered by everybody involved, no work. Go over there, enjoy the family. There's some young kids that I'll be spending time with who are people I don't get to see and enjoy very often. I'm really looking forward to that. I can't say that I'm looking forward to being away from the show or from writing, but orders are orders, and I'm going to follow these. I appreciate you listening to this show more than I can convey, and I'm going to appreciate it more than ever when I come back. I can promise you that. Again, next shows are Tuesday, June 18. Thank you so much for being with me.